something and see if it sounds okay.
Yeah, well, you know.
Check.
Sound.
Word.
Sound. Highway run into the midnight.
You know, speaking of which, you know, we're talking about, like, if we don't pause, like, every 10 minutes for the show, and breaks, I now know why our guest uses a lot of pen stuff and probably stays away from the computer.
Which is...
How so?
I'll follow through on the thought.
Oh, my God. The frustration level is phenomenal.
Great. It's the Reflex Blue Show. I'm Nate Voss.
I'm Donovan Meary.
We're at the Howe Conference still. Airing...
Recording right from Studio 280.
Airing weeks and weeks after the conference. It's a bit of a bizarre time warp for the listeners. We're here with, oh God, I was going to do this before we started rolling. James, what's the proper way to pronounce your last name? I just don't want to get it wrong.
James.
Okay, James.
No, Victory.
Victory. Okay, it is. Okay, great. Very good, great. Thank you for taking time out of your schedule for today. Donovan, if you wouldn't mind, put your phone down. We can get started.
There's my entire argument right there.
Right.
Distraction.
I was reading up on your distraction.
Jesus. I'm here with a couple of professionals, and they can't put their vaginas away for.
Don't be jumping into the professional stuff.
And we established long ago. We're amateurs at best at this stuff.
Obviously, we did not do well enough in explaining the show to our guests.
So,
well, you're not in the garage, so.
So you're here at Howe. Let's start with that. What are you doing at Howe?
I haven't a clue. I said yes to come to this to the conference because I had this the book that came out, and
yeah.
You know, I hate to feel like I'm on the road shilling, but I've been to. Since September, I've been to 25 cities, basically talking about the book, but not talking about the book as much as talking about this the last 25 years of that I've been alive.
Which is kind of what the book's about.
It is totally about, like, it's about my journey, yeah.
Okay, and that, it's called Victory, and it's Who Died and Made You, Boss?
Yep.
Right? Great. Available now. Giant, thick...
It was the mission statement when we were designing this is badass. We wanted to make a badass book, and it ended up we ended up with a book that you could probably kill a man with. It's heavy and it's sharp and it's black.
We'll be putting that to test tonight after the show.
It's visually a very nice book. Now Paul Sayre,
the man.
So
the man.
And you guys work together at SVA, right?
No.
Is it SVA?
No, he teaches at SVA. I teach at SVA.
And that's the School of Visual Arts for you non-academic.
Yeah.
Don't know their
head. He teaches at SVA. I'm there. He has his own studio called, I don't know what it's called. It's called Paul Sayre, isn't it? No, Office of Paul Sayre.
Okay.
So it's OOPS. Oops. Sure. Oops.
He is a clever guy.
He's a brilliant guy. I just met somebody here who was the organizer for the talk that we did in Phoenix. And in Phoenix, it was Paul and I together. And it was the best. Just to be up on stage with him and talk about this process. And he showed his surfboards. I showed mine. I showed books that he designed that were the reason why I asked him to design my book. It was comfortable.
Michael Osborne asks, hi, James.
We know each other. We met each other a long time ago.
What kind of ink do you use?
Ink?
What's your favorite kind of
ink? Black. Done. How about that?
Answered.
All right.
We should do a lot of, and I think that the kind of what he was drilling down to.
It's paint, actually.
Actually,
is what
I
use.
I was going to ask
paint.
You about that, because instead of...
Black oil-based paint.
And it's a Sharpie oil-based.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's
awesome.
Over there drawing.
Yeah, trips like a mofo. Yeah, it's great.
You do an awful lot of hand work. We talked about this at the top.
Because that's where I began working as a, you know, professionally. I began working before computers were around. So, as he said as he stroked his long white beard, and I got into the business because I like working with my hands. I like making things. So it's just natural for me to kind of, that's how I think. I mean, I think artists think with their hands. My hands are always, you know, busy trying to make stuff. And a computer is just not natural for me. I don't want to sit in front of a TV and type, you know, to make stuff.
And again, I did research, so I know it's like organizing and not like.
I think there are people who are 27 or 28 who can pull off creativity in the computer right now because they're just so used to it. But it's just not my gig.
It's like, it's like a pencil to you, right?
And they've had it.
Yeah.
Yeah, kids who text or my nephews who can run my brother's Xbox quicker than we can. We've been playing video games, you know, since the 80s. He's got a 5-year-old that could.
Yeah. You know, I mean, I was talking to a friend of mine the other day on the phone, and I don't remember how it worked. We were texting back and forth or something. Oh, that's what it was. I was texting him, and he texted me back, and he said, "I'm on the phone right now. Let me call you." I'm like, I'm stupefied. Wait a minute. You're on the phone, and you're texting at the – how the hell do people do that? It was crazy. He was talking to somebody on his phone, and – he's just a one-phone guy. And my son is like, "Dad, you have apps and you can do this thing and you can do that." I'm obviously Rip Van Winkle. I don't know how this shit works. And I, quite frankly, have no interest whatsoever.
Rip Van Winkle?
What is it?
Rip Van Winkle is a fairy tale.
Oh, I'm thinking of
you're not Rip.
He's confused.
We're always confused around here. So, yeah. Now you do a lot of surfboards. Do you surf a lot?
I haven't been in the water for a year, I think my skin is suffering from lack of, you know, brackish, dirty water, brackish, dirty Rockaway beach water. And I haven't painted a surfboard in a while. I've got a couple of blanks in the studio that I need to paint at some point, but I'm not going to do them unless somebody, you know, asks me.
One-off.
Yeah. Basically, it started as Paul and I were surf pals, and I needed a new board, and I went looking for boards, and I found out that they were half price if you buy them with blank as blanks. So I bought. Sure. So Paul and I got in my pickup truck, and we drove out to the Shaper in Long Island, and we came back with 10. 10 boards. Nice. So we just laid down some money, and he's got a couple that he's working on in his studio, and I've got a couple in my studio, and the one that I surf on I painted, and then I've got the one in the book that sits in the studio, and we've had a fun run. It's basically an expensive hobby. I won't do it unless somebody asks, and I'm not really going to go searching to be the next, you know, dude.
There's kind of a line in your work, and I think that somehow, obviously, you're still here, you're still working. You've gotten between commercial graphic design and you've gotten art. And the surfboard thing sounds like art, but it's all, to me, looking through the work, it all seems so close together that there isn't really a distinction.
Yeah.
Do you feel like that's true, or is that just nuts and hey, we're doing jobs?
No, we just make stuff. It doesn't matter. I was asked a couple of years ago when I was doing a talk, and this is the reason why I don't have even question and answers in my talks anymore. some guy said, so like, you know, you start off and like there was a dead Indian poster and like you didn't really have a client for that. So is it really graphic design? And I said, oh, I see. You're one of those people who give a shit about these different distinct. I don't fucking care. I don't, you know, it's like I don't really call it anything. And listen, if you want to make $1 million, call it something. Define yourself. Define yourself so completely tight. Like, you're not just an illustrator. I'm the illustrator who does the squiggly lines. And then you can get $1 million. You make a ton of... But I don't want to define myself. I just want to, you know, do the things I want to do, do the projects I want to do, work with the clients that I want to work with. And, the problem with trying to do it my way is that I'm an idealist. I'm a dreamer. And it's really hard to reconcile being an idealist or being a dreamer and being an adult and having a child in private school and having college to look forward to and all that kind of stuff. You know what I mean? It's just you have to really prepare yourself. You have to prepare. Like, I've got an amazing wife who lets me do the things I do, who is in it for the ups and downs, you know? I love what I do, and I'm not going to let go of it.
Yeah, and I think that feel free to jump in.
Oh, I was just saying that it's chosen your work. I mean, you can tell if you look at your work, you can see passion there and the love.
Thank you.
Whatever it is, yeah, that you
award. What I was going to say is
there is a word for it. It's called work. No, we can edit that out later. That was. It's called.
Now
you guys were getting too lovey gooey. I had to change the direction.
What I was going to say is, I think that, you know, again, relating, you know, the work that you've done, which I would describe as difficult work to do for the majority of people, you know, the 3,000 people that are out there. I think it's great for people to have the idealist to look up to, like a. You know, to go back and use the movies as a metaphor, it's really great that everyone can look at Stanley Kubrick and say, oh my God, that's the way I wish that I could be if I was going to make a movie. But to do that takes a Stanley Kubrick. It takes that one kind of person that can set up their life or that can, you know, make the commitment to be that way, to create those. And that's a much more rare thing.
Well, it's, you know, thank you. And
oh my God,
I think
you to Kubrick. Write it down.
He's in my book. He's on the list.
For what?
He died and made me boss.
Okay.
Yeah.
But not for.
And the movie thing is the movie making, mm-hmm. and authors like James Joyce. James Joyce doesn't give a rat's ass what you think. Quentin Tarantino doesn't give a rat's ass what you think. They make their work, right? We're the only creative field that is so so pandering, so kind of like cloying for, you know, attention and wanting these other opinions and. Yes, and look, and then so check out Michael Bay's bank statement and Orson Welles' bank statement. They're going to be radically different.
Right.
So, but you know, like I don't want to work like a lot of us have to. I don't want to work and just constantly be putting your work up to everybody else's opinion except yours. And all you have to do is go, you sulk back and change it, you know, and like, oh fucking God, these people don't know anything, and then go back and they go, oh, that's good, but a little more to the left, you know, like right. This kind of stuff. Filmmakers don't work like this. Authors don't work like this. Musicians don't work like this, unless you're like,
Black Eyed Peas.
Exactly.
Love it. I saw the Super Bowl show. I understand.
Oh, Lord. Jesus Christ.
I give them props for trying to bring Tron costumes into the world, but then also demonstrate.
But they were shilling Tron.
Why you shouldn't be doing that.
They're, and it's perfect too, because look at the movie they were shilling. Mm-hmm. Crap.
Oh, I wanted to like it. Mine because was, visually it was gorgeous.
I hated the first one.
I never saw the first one.
First one's terrible.
Hey, let's remake it. Good idea.
You know, when I watched it, I was like six, and I was like, this is amazing. I'm six, and it's 1984 or whatever, And then, like, I tried, I was like, they were making the new one, and I went to go show my wife, and I was like, we have to go see Tron. She's like, I never saw Tron, I don't care. I was like, no, but you got to watch it, it's great, and then you'll understand. We sat down, and we watched, and I was like,
and you're like, oh, I'm sorry. I apologize.
Yeah. All right, we're going to come back. I got two questions for you, and then we'll, you know, it's been a pleasure.
Disneyland,
okay,
all the
yeah,
Disney
so
stores.
We're reading about Chris Chapman here.
He often serves as a liaison between the art and business team at Disney.
All right, any questions for this guy?
This is serendipitous. I love this.
When are you talking to him?
Tomorrow morning, I think.
Okay. How about So you work in marketing for Disney. I'm about to redesign the interior of my yacht. Would you suggest mahogany or teak?
I like it. Done.
Done.
We'll figure it out.
Because obviously the motherfucker makes some coin.
There. I was like, wow, I'm not sure where he's going with that, but okay, done. Got it.
All right, and then, hey, your film book. What great film would you recommend that I've probably not seen because no one's seen it?
It's the first thing that comes to my mind, so I'm going to go with this one, and it's from, there's a whole raft of movies from a studio it's black and white films from the 50s, and the studio is called Ealing Studios, E-A-L-I-N-G, and it's an early James Mason movie called Odd Man Out. And it's James Mason and his droogs, his boys, are IRA bombers.
Okay.
And they get separated. They plan this thing, and he gets separated from his pals. And the movie is this entire night of him trying to escape the cops. And it's brilliant, brilliant. Probably middle 50s, Odd Man Out with James Mason. I don't know why I went there, but...
I can already tell you that I will watch that. All the old movies, all the black and white 40s and 50s on Netflix.
Ealing Studios, man. Kind Hearts and Coronets. The Lady Killers. All great, great, great stuff.
What's your favorite recent movie? Mine's Hot Tub Time Machine.
You just go for it. I don't know if it classifies as recent, but there's a film that I thought The Town... was awesome, actually.
Is that Ben Affleck?
Affleck. And his brother.
I didn't think he had anything good
in
him.
And the guy from The Hurt Walkers in it.
Yep, and his brother did Gone Baby Gone. I thought that was an awesome film. But my favorite right now, and I watch it instead of music sometimes in the studio, we put this on and we watch it again and again, is District 9. I'm totally a sci-fi fan.
We got into a sneak peek at the theater when that came out.
Oh, it's so great. It's so good. It's just a well-made movie. It's believable. I like sci-fi and even I Am Legend is kind of not, because there's so much rubbery Spider-Man-y kind of digital crap
that
in it.
Kind of felt flat.
Yeah, a little bit.
But
District 9.
That's Neil Blomkamp's
movie. Awesome, awesome.
He did it for Peter Jackson and not a studio.
Exactly.
He got to bring his own vision.
And that's exactly what we're talking about.
It's not rubbery at all.
Exactly.
It's got a point of view.
Is Michael Bay doing the sequel?
What's that?
Someone like that.
Something else.
Something.
There is a District 10.
It's called
idea.
District 9 and a half.
Yeah.
District 8 and a half.
Yeah.
It's kind of Fellini-esque.
Yeah, I thought it was a cross between 8 Mile and District
9. Eminem.
Victoria,
pleasure.
So much.
Pleasure. Awesome. Awesome, awesome, awesome.
All right, have fun at the rest of the Howl Conference.
Yeah, have a great time. Thanks, everybody, for listening.
Thank you for listening.
All right, get back in the water before your skin dries out.
Super. Adios.